Okay, let's get started. Cool. So this session is, I had it as DevOps for mobile applications, but if you've been to any of the other more cultural side of the changes that you need to have in your company for DevOps, then I changed it a little bit to be just continuous integration and continuous deployment for mobile apps, which is more fitting to what we're showing here. DevOps is a huge topic, so I'm not attempting to cover everything about it here. And also, thanks for being here this early on the second day. Brave soul. So I'll try to keep you awake for the next hour or 45 minutes. And let's get started. So I have two, three slides just to cover the different types of developing mobile applications. I guess if you're already developing applications, you've seen this before. But we have what we find three different areas of how people are developing applications today. One is the native applications, and I don't think there's any better one. It depends on where you are in your company or with the skills that you have in your team, right? But if you have dedicated teams for iOS, Windows, and Android, and other platforms, then that will give you the best native experience, of course. And but the thing is, you have to maintain multiple code bases for those. On the left here, we have hybrid and web, Cordova-based, and nowadays we see a lot of React Native as well coming up, where you develop with non-native UX, and it's not a native experience, but it's the one that you build it once, and it should be available for all of the platforms with the same code base. And then we have Xamarin as well, the product that Microsoft acquired recently. And the code is shared. It's all C# based, and it does compile back to fully native as well in the end. So there's these three options. Just to drill into those two a little bit more on the Cordova React Native, that's where you can, if you have already a lot of HTML, CSS, JavaScript knowledge in the company, and you want that high code reuse, then this is a pretty good option. And and you can even have applications that are web-based altogether, right? So you can choose this path. The other one is through Xamarin. And what I like about Xamarin is well, first, it's all C#, so if you already have all of that knowledge there, it's worth looking into it. Of course, there will be specifics of each platform. If you've never built an iOS app before, you will still, even if you're working with Xamarin, you would have to understand how iOS apps works, but at least the code that you will build that will be shared between all of them will be C#. And if you're using Xamarin Forms for some of the pages or all the pages, depending on how you want to do it, then it'll all be XAML-based as well. And it has a pretty high fidelity API access to each of the platforms, and 100% of the platform's APIs are exposed. And if you've been to other sessions here about Xamarin, then you'll know, but it does build back into a native application in the end. So it uses Xcode behind the scenes or Android behind the scenes to build the application. And of course, the Windows part there, it's just a universal Windows app that uses the same shared code PCL libraries that you have. So if you've seen that, if you've used Xamarin before, then you know what I'm talking about here. The other part that I have is I'm just covering the parts from Microsoft that you can use to build mobile applications in general, and pretty soon I'll drill into the continuous integration part. But the other part to keep in mind is Azure as the backend. So we always remind people to look at Azure. Even if you need something really complex that you need to put in compute and straight into virtual machines in your backend, but we do have some higher level solutions like Azure mobile apps and notification hubs for push notifications and others for you to that then can sit on top of a database like Azure SQL database to be the backend for your applications as well, so you don't have to keep hosting it on premises. Because you will have, nowadays, most mobile devices will be connected, and some of them talk directly to APIs of things, but most of them you would have to have some state, you have to implement push notifications and et cetera, and that's where Azure can help. Then the final piece, I guess, of this is Visual Studio Team Services, and that's and TFS, so Team Foundation Servers. So Team Foundation Servers is on-premises version of VSTS, and they're both basically the same code base. VSTS is hosted by Microsoft for you, and they deploy there first, so every 3 weeks the teams have internal sprints at Microsoft, and they update, deploy new features to it, and then every 4 to 6 months or so, they also release an update for TFS on-premises with the latest the tool. So you can host it yourself on-premises, or you can just use the hosted version so you don't have to worry about the servers or run the SQL Server and anything. And it does have support, as we're going to see today, it does have support for quite a lot of stuff for what a team might need when you're building applications, regardless of if they're mobile apps or web applications or microservices, or if you're using containers, it will allow the team to host the source code, do manage work items, and then take that code through continuous integration and deployment, and release management as well. So, what the tools that we have for you if you're building a mobile application? The first one we've already covered, basically. So you can use Visual Studio, or if you're using iOS, then you can do Xamarin Studio as well to build mobile applications. So that's the development part. For testing, what I'll show you later is Xamarin Test Cloud. So that is a solution that allows you to run your app on real devices, but you don't have to have all those devices yourself. You can push it to Xamarin Test Cloud, tell it which devices you wanted to test it on, and it will run those and report back if there's any failures. Building, so that's where Visual Studio Team Services comes in, and it will not only just do control the automation of running builds for your applications, but also do the workflow of this build needs to run these tests on Xamarin Test Cloud, and then it needs to be deployed to your beta testers via Hockey app, or to your more external testers via Test Flight or the Google App Store. So VSTS comes in at that level. And then finally, if for beta testers distribution, and then to monitor the usage of your application, we have Hockey app as well, which it allows you to deploy your application to testers that you might have, that is your immediate team or some external testers that are your beta testers. And then once you're ready to expose that to more people, then you can go into the app stores or to Test Flight on iOS. So iOS has Test Flight, and then you deploy to the store. Google and Windows, they have beta testing in there as well that you can deploy, and then finally to the store. So the Hockey app is a good place in between for you to get feedback and get early usage, and then learn from that before you allow it to go out to the actual external users that you might have that aren't your early beta testers, right? And then at the end, I have a slide with the links to all of these. So the first feature that I want to show is continuous integration. So in continuous integration is where you have your team trying to merge the code into a branch, a master branch, that will get built often, and the whole team will know that that code is passing, and that package is what's ready to be deployed to an environment somewhere. So when it comes to mobile applications, then that means that the app is ready to be pushed out to testers eventually, or at least to be tested. And when we're talking about mobile applications, specifically in this scenario, is where you would have the source code repo. In my case, I'm going to show it in VSTS itself. It doesn't have to be. It could be in GitHub or somewhere else. Your team is committing there. The build server is executing those builds, and it also pushes it out to Test Cloud to run it against a few devices. And you can then define, it might take some time for those tests to run. So you have to define how many devices you want to test it against. So in my example here, I'll have it against three different iOS devices, iPhone 6 with a specific version of iOS installed and a couple of others. So once that's done, then it says, oh, the build is complete and it's passed successfully. So if you want, we can deploy it to some test, real testers. So let's have a look at an initial part there. So to show you the application that I have, let me minimize this. Cool. So the application that we have that I'm going to show, this is my device here, is that Patience app on the bottom right. And it's a simple application that we've been showing for Microsoft for a while. It is basically cross-platform. The first thing you notice is as soon as I open it up, it says there's a new version. And this is because Hockey app, I kicked off a build earlier. And it says, oh, there's a new version of this app. I'll ignore that for now. But basically, it's an application for patients from a health clinic, so it can remind you when the next pill that you need to take is, book appointments as well. So in this case here, there's a few doctors with very Microsoft-sounding names. and then there's a settings tab at the end there. You see the save button is red, and that's what I'm going to change now just to kick off another build and stuff for us. I'm just going to change that to green. So it's a simple application. I have the link for it at the end as well if you want to go and check it out. So the application itself, I have it open here in Xamarin Studio in iOS, right? So if you're developing, and just to mention it, I'm going the Xamarin iOS path for all of this, but it's very much similar for Android and Cordova and native applications. If you're building the app here, committing the code into VSTS or GitHub, and then triggering those builds and automation, they are very similar. So I thought I'll just show one path, not to keep going back and forth between all of them. So I have it here. I just have the storyboard open so that you can see that it's the same application there. And if I switch over to Windows, I also have that same solution that I got from the same repo open here. So if I zoom in a little bit here, you can see it's the same iOS, Android. There is a Windows app as well, but it's not in this solution. What I can do is to kick things off, I'll go into Team Explorer here, have a look at my branches. There's a few branches there. So what I'll do is I'll create a new local branch based on that master and save fix background.
Would you just clone that existing one?
Which one?
The master branch. You can just say clone that master branch.
Yeah, so the reason I'm doing it, the reason I'm doing it in a different branch is because I set a branch, a branch setting on the master that says it needs to be a pull request, that a build passes for the pull request before it allows anything to get into master. So it basically has a stopgap there saying don't let anything be merged to master if it's not even building, right? So it's just just to make sure there. So if I go into this, and that settings page is in this PCL library here. So it's the one that all of this stuff is shared between all of those two apps in Xamarin. And there's that settings page that I talked about here. So for the settings page, you'll see here that the text color for the button is red. So I'll just make a simple change because don't want to spend too much time in the code here. I'll commit the change. So changing button. Oh, sorry. Let me go back to the branches. I need to publish the branch to the server. Oh, did that get committed already? Might have. Okay, let me double check here on the server. So I have it open here, the health clinic solution. So this is in Visual Studio Team Services. You just go to visualstudio.com and you can sign up there. You see that it's saying here you updated fixed background just now, so it's already tracking that new branch there for me, and I can create a pull request. Changing button, create the pull request here, and that basically you see that it's created a pull request, but it's saying there's a policy here for the build to finish. So I have it set up so that it will run this specific build here, CI Xamarin iOS pull request, and it'll run through getting the source code and building the application. So let me show you what this here looks like. Let me edit this build definition. So you can create build definitions and say the repository source, in my case, it's just here from Visual Studio Team Services, could be from GitHub. And you basically compile, make it from a set of build steps. When you create a new one, there's a few that are predefined, so for Windows, for Xcode, and et cetera. So in this one here, basically all I have is restoring NuGet packages and then building the iOS app. The interesting thing about this is because you do need a Mac to build iOS. With Android, you could use Windows or Mac. So what VSTS has is it has an agent, a cross-platform agent that you install on a Mac or on Windows or on Linux, and it will then push those changes to there. So here in under General, for this, the default agent queue is there, but if I go and have a look at agent queues, we'll see that the name of the agent that's running my build now is called Thiago's MPB, so it's my MacBook here, the one that we're running now. Some development teams, they basically just have a couple of Mac minis that they connect to the network and install the agent there, and then any builds will be sent to those Mac minis. There's a couple of companies like Mac in Cloud that also allows you to rent out their Macs, and they give you access to those Macs for you to use as an agent. So there's a couple of options there depending on how far you want to go with the automation. So that's basically it for the branch policies for it to at least build before it can allow you to merge. Once it's merged, then let me show you the other build definition that I have. And that is this one here, you know, continuous integration of Xamarin.iOS. So if I go and edit that one, we'll see that it has a little bit more than the pull request. Instead of just building, it has the same things, you know, restore NuGet packages and build. And you see that this is a Xamarin.iOS. Just to show you here, if you add a task to this build, there's, at the end here, there's Xcode ones as well. And of course, for Android, there's a few Android builds as well here. So it's you can build all of those from here. And of course, for universal Windows apps, it's just MS Build or a Visual Studio Build task. So you see here, I have it configured to build that. I'm overriding the signing and provisioning profiles, of course. So I have a specific certificate that I set up with my Apple account and a password. And the password you just set up in variables here, so I don't have it hard-coded in this. You just go into variables and you add any variables that you need your build to have access to. So, but the difference here is that I have this extra task for Xamarin Test Cloud. So I set up on Xamarin Test Cloud the same application to be tested, and it's just pointing at that. So it's the team and devices ID. You push the IPA file that came from this build, and in Android it would be the IPK. And then it goes to Xamarin Test Clouds, runs those. And if this passed, then it just makes those available for the next step that we're going to cover the later on. So that's basically continuous integration, the support that we have for building the applications automatically, right? So let's see how that build is going. Looks like it's succeeded, the latest one. So if I go back to the code and look at pull requests, I think that's the one. You can have approvers, reviewers, and approvers there. You can, you know, double check the code, but I can just complete it. It's going to squash it, so it's going to merge, and then delete that branch that we created. So now that it's completed the pull request, it should have then triggered the other one here, the cd.xamarin.ios, right? So this is the one that's then going to build it and then send to Xamarin Test Cloud for the devices. So while that's running, I'll just come back here to the slides. Even though it's pretty quick, it's just this one slide before I go back to showing you something, which is automated testing. So basically, that's where you have there's a few different types of testing that you can do. One is unit testing, and that would be part of your build itself. And then you have automated testing where you have functional testing and et cetera. And Xamarin Test Cloud sort of fits in there. So here's a few of the features that it has. They have real devices in the data center that it runs your builds for. It simulates user interactions. You can simulate quite a few different things. You know, the rotation, everything basically that you can do with the device. It will allow you to do. And it has support for a few other, like Calabash is a very popular testing framework as well. So let's have a look at what that looks like. I guess it'll still be running the one that we just triggered, but I can show you a previous run of that in Xamarin Test Cloud. So we're at 1078 on the build number here. So the previous one was 1077. Let me go into this guy, look at history, 1077, just to show you that it went through all of those steps. And then here in the UI tests in Xamarin Test Cloud, it also went through. And it basically, it uploads, if you look at the logs, it just uploads the application up to Xamarin Test Cloud, validates it, and then runs it on the number of devices. And then if it's all successful, it reports successful. Otherwise, it reports the errors here. And we can see here that it shows three results passed. So it's the same application, but just running on three devices. So it says there's three tests there. Now, if I go into Xamarin Test Cloud, this is where I have my patients application. And you see this is just a history of the number of tests. This is one where I was still working out the test, and there were some failures. So I can have a look at what I was doing. And it's basically, if you remember when I showed you the app, tapping on different screens, looking at the settings page, then going back into the appointments, and here's where it failed. So I can go into that failure, look at the test failures here, and I can see I tried to tap on an element that I set in the UI test, but it couldn't find it, right? Let me show you in the code what that test looks like. And if I have a look here at UI tests, that there, and I have just the one test here that I have set up. And that's basically what we saw there. So it's tapping on the parts of the UI that match. And then finally, in the end there, the one that failed was this one here, where it tried to tap on something that wasn't on the screen, basically. And this should work, but that one was failing. And you can use, there's a tool, I don't have it here started yet, but you can use from Visual Studio, you can start creating a test, and then it records those tests for you and pretty much generates this. And if you're on the Xamarin side, there's a Xamarin test recorder that you give it the IPA file and start clicking on the app from your phone or from the emulator, and it will just create these for you. So it makes it a little bit easier. You don't have to write everything manually, right? So that's one that failed. If I go to the latest one here, then we can see that's the previous version, like we saw, 1077, and that one passed. So it tried to tap on Jasper's Trader, and that worked. So it opened that appointment for them in all three devices, right? If just to show you, if you go new. Let me zoom out a little. If you try to create a new one here, just to show you, this is where you choose, if you try to create a new test run for an app that you already have up there, this is where you choose the things that you want it to run on. So if it's iOS, then you can say maybe by availability or market share. You know, iPhone 6 is the highest, and then 5S, and et cetera. So you can say, I want it to run on phone only based on market share, and I'll take these three here, right? Or these four. Once you've selected there, you can configure the language, and then it should give you the settings that you need for that Xamarin Test Cloud part of Visual Studio Team Services build. So there's the devices setting there, and everything else that you need. So basically, this is if you were running it from the command line, but those are the values that you use here when you're setting up that UI test in Xamarin Test Cloud. Cool? So that's what Xamarin Test Cloud can do for you. It's pretty powerful, and it works. It doesn't have to be a Xamarin-based application. It can be just a native one that you built as well. So any application basically that then for iOS generates an IPA or an IPK for Android, it'll run here. It doesn't have support for Windows Phone yet, but it does for iOS and Android. Cool. The next step is both continuous deployment. That's where once you have that one build that you don't want to change, and you want it to deploy to an environment, right? So source code builds, it passed the Xamarin or the tests, and then you deploy it to an environment. And then the evolution of that is if you have multiple environments. So in this case here, this slide is generic, but what you can do is that same source code that was deployed to from a VSTS through Xamarin Test Cloud, it passed there, then it gets deployed to early beta testers. So if you're using Hockey app, that would be one of the environments. So if you're thinking of it from a mobile perspective, is what groups of testers are you deploying it to instead of dev stage and production, right? So it would go, I have, in my setup, I have configured for alpha testers, which would be my team, my local team, that will have access to it, or extended team. Then beta testers from Hockey app, which would be, say, MVPs. And then finally, test flight for external users that signed up to get the early build. And then finally, production would be the app store itself, right? So to show you what that looks like in Visual Studio Team Services, while you can do a lot from the build side of things, that's where release management comes in. So you see here there's releases. If you go to VSTS, you might see that build and release are different tabs. This is early where they're consolidating the two views. But we can see here, I have a Java web app for some reason here, but the one we want to see is Health Clinic. So if we look at how I set that up, I have four environments that I set up on the side. An environment in VSTS from a release management perspective doesn't mean that it needs to be an environment. It could be you could use two or three environments to deploy to the same solution. So you could have one for the database, one for the web tier, or in this case, one for Hockey app alpha and another one for beta. And basically what you use is very similar to the build task, where you just add those, the right tasks for what you want to do. So there's one for Hockey app, of course. And you would have set up Hockey app already with the application that you then enter the app ID here. So in my case, if I go to my Hockey app dashboard, you see I have a few applications here. This one is a pretty good sample as well, My Driving. So we have it for Android, iPhone, and Windows Phone. That we showed a build in May. But the ones that I'm using now, it's Health Clinic here. So if I go iPhone Alpha, it has all those versions that we saw. And I guess eventually, as it goes through those builds, it will go up to 1078 here. And you can do it a couple of different ways, because if I go and manage this application, you can see it's an option here to just change it from alpha and beta. But I decided to just create it as two separate, from a Hockey app perspective, two separate entries here, because I want different people to subscribe to these, right? And Hockey app then becomes the first part where it deploys. The other thing to keep in mind here is the trigger for this environment. So you have deployment conditions here for each environment. The trigger for it says as soon as the release has been created, deploy to it. So it's not going to wait for any approvals or anything. As soon as this trigger here, continuous integration for that build, so when that build finished, trigger this release, and then this environment is going to trigger as soon as it starts. So basically, it's always every time that a build passes past Xamarin Test Cloud, it's going to deploy to this alpha Hockey app. For the other ones, you can either choose to have approvers, or of course you can say just deploy right after, at the same time as the other one, or you can say right after that other one was successful, right? So you can basically, if you think about it, you can create environments and do a workflow between them of what the order of things should be. In my case here for this, what I said was I don't want any automated deployment. So there will be someone that will decide when it gets deployed to all of the other ones. So in that case, I could go back to the releases here and say, yeah, I think this release here, based on build 1077, it went out to all the alpha testers. It's looking really good. So what I'll do is go into this release and just say, manually deploy it to some other environment, to Hockey beta or even directly to test flight, right? And that basically is going to kick it off to test flight. Just to show you what that looks like, we also have a test flight published to the App Store task. So for you to get this one, you need to add an extension to your VSCS. So you can see here at the very top, there's a marketplace for extensions. So if I go there, and you see the Hockey app one is there as well. Well, let me see, it's App Store. And you see that the Apple App Store one is there. So basically, you select it, you say install, and if you're the owner or the admin of that VSTS account, it'll basically add the right tasks and other extensions that it needs to start doing those builds. So Hockey app is one. Apple App Store is one. There's one for the Google App Store. And then there's a couple for Windows Store as well. So you can see Windows Store here, and the Google Play as well. So it's the support that you get is just by adding these extensions to it. And then for test flight here, I basically just have it set up to connect to test flight once it gets to that stage. So let's have a look at how the release is going. Because I triggered that build that is still in progress, I only have this one Mac, so it'll finish this build first and then kick off that release. But you can see it's at that UI test stage now, so it's still running the tests in Xamarin Test Cloud. So if I went to Xamarin Test Cloud here, it should show me that it's running it on three devices there, right? So once that finishes, it'll go to the release. And if we look at the last release, let me go back to releases. The last release that went, because that environment there is the Xamarin Task Cloud, was 1073. So if I go to my app, my device here, and let me find Test Flight there, we'll see that the last version of it is 1073 there. So as soon as it gets to the point where it deploys the new one to Test Flight, then that would bump up to that 1075, I think, that we chose. Cool. That's basically how you distribute the application to multiple different types of testers. The one thing I wanted to mention is that I think both the Google Play and the Apple Store extensions, they use a tool behind the scenes called Fastlane. So Fastlane is very useful for anything iOS and Android, and it basically just uses those tools behind the scenes to kick it off. So it's another extension that we have there. But you don't have to worry too much about it, other than to know that it will install the Fastlane tools on your Mac when it's doing the build to or the deployment to upload it to the App Store. All right, so we covered that. We have just a slide on Hockey App for completion here. But you can distribute your app. The cool thing is that it supports all three platforms. It does collect crash reports, and you can also use it for user feedback. So if you want to do a shake to send feedback or add send feedback, it will add. It has pretty good support for that in the SDK for a Hockey App. And then you can also track the app usage based on installs and et cetera from inside the Hockey App as well. And then as you continue thinking, if you got to the point where you have this all figured out, you're deploying, testing, and using beta testers for all of your applications, then you can start thinking of some advanced DevOps practices. This is just that for you to keep in mind. But there's you can use testing in production or feature flags. I know that there's a few teams at Microsoft, like Outlook and others, that they use feature flags so that you can toggle a feature on and off for a specific set of users to see what they think about it, and then have a quality bar there for the feature before deciding to actually release it to everyone. And there's a few different options. If you go to featureflags.io, that's just a directory of how you can implement feature flags. LaunchDarkly, it's a pretty, it's a partner of Microsoft that has support for that. The Google Play Store itself allows you to do that and A/B testing as well. So something to keep in mind once you get to the point where you do have that CI and CD for your mobile application. And then just to close off, we have a few case studies. Alaska, you probably saw Corey mention Alaska yesterday during the keynote, but they use Xamarin quite heavily for their applications in Azure. They use Xamarin Test Cloud. They do some beta testing. They are doing some development builds with VSTS for their applications there. Another one is Coca-Cola. They also do Visual Studio, Xamarin, Azure, and VSTS. So it's a pretty big customer of ours for that, and that's for their iOS app as well. So finally, to close off, there's where to find, of course, Xamarin.com, hockeyapp.net/features, Visual Studio Team Services, and then if you want to see where the sample app is, the one that I've been using, the patients one, you can go azure.com/Xamarin. So let me just go there. Even though, let me close this. So if you go to xamarin.com/Azure or azure.com/Xamarin, see what we did there. It has some of the features that you can use Azure as the backend for your applications, not just Xamarin, but for any mobile devices. But the interesting thing is down the bottom here, you see there's this shopping demo, which is a new demo sample that we have for cross-platform that also plugs into cognitive services and Azure, but also the healthclinic.biz one that I'm showing you, the My Driving that we build created for Build, and then there was an app for Xamarin Evolve as well. So there's a few samples there for you to play around with if you need a starting point. Cool. And with that, that's all I had for you today. I hope that all makes sense. There's quite a lot of information if you haven't done continuous integration or deployment with for mobile applications. But at least now you know the parts that we have that you can investigate to enable that. Great. Okay, thank you.